Thank you, everybody, for joining us to another episode of the Crypto Consumer Chronicles, a podcast hosted by Crypto Sapiens. We meet here every week to define and demystify the world of consumer crypto with the people who are building it. Make sure to sign up to our newsletter at cryptosapiens.xyz. Before we get started, I want to thank the generous supporters without whom this series would not be possible: Mosaic Labs, the creators of Fardrops, the Optimism Collective, and RetroPGF4, and Bankless DAO. I don't think that today's guest needs too much of an introduction for people who are deep in the space of Web3, but for those of you who are listening, who are trying to learn what it is that's happening in Web3, we're going to go ahead and let Jacek introduce himself and then also introduce DGEN while he's at it. It's very hard for me, Jacek, to define what is DGEN, because I feel like DGEN started as one thing and it's quickly becoming something else. So we're definitely want to touch on the evolution of DGEN as well. But let's just start with an introduction to yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, how you got into crypto and how you thought about DGEN and getting that started.
Yeah, so essentially, I was born out in LA. My mom was Polish, is Polish. So essentially we would kind of move back and forth. During the summers, I'd spend my time there. Early on I was kind of into electronic music. I like to kind of talk about that a little bit. That's kind of where I got my first kind of like cue into doing something unique in the industry, being in like a creative field. That was pretty cool. I did that for high school and I did that in college. I got to play some cool shows. Ghost wrote music for a little while, traveled a little bit. And after college, I decided to move to Poland, worked at IBM for a little bit, worked at Credit Suisse for about 6 years, worked at mBank, which is a Polish bank. During this whole time, was basically a database developer, architect. Then I went to work at Hedgehog, which is actually the sweatshirt I'm wearing. And it's, it was a small Y Combinator startup. Worked there for about 2.5 years. And then in November, I decided, okay, I'm just going to, do my own thing. Then November, I mostly hung out with family. And December, I decided, I'm going to go at this. And things just started kind of popping up in the DGEN channel on Farcaster. And one of those things was basically people creating tokens. So one of the first tokens was like the points token. There was a couple others. And I decided, hey, well, if there's demand for this, I'll just kind of drop the other thing I was going to do, which was going to be channels.fun. It was going to be like a mashup between friend tech and like subreddits. So essentially like you could buy into a channel or something. Anyway, I saw demand here and I just started working on the token and it launched January 6th. And then January 8th was the airdrop, I believe. That's kind of how things got started. It was a little bit random. It was a little bit crazy. And now we're kind of here.
Thank you so much for the kind of the background there. I actually didn't know a lot about that. And to be fair, I think a lot of times when it comes to memes, the meme itself kind of takes a life of its own. And the people who kind of are building it sometimes fall by the wayside, right? I'm not actually quite sure how and why that works. And I'm sure there's a whole conversation to dig into there. And maybe we will. Because a lot of what I knew about DGEN was DGEN specific, right? Mm. And so I knew about DGEN because of the airdrop, because I too was a member of the DGEN channel. I wasn't someone who was posting a lot there, but being that it was one of the early channels on Farcaster, and for those of you who are listening who don't know what Farcaster is, imagine if Twitter was decentralized. In other words, imagine if Twitter didn't run the protocol, but the protocol was run by a number of different organizations. It was open source. And then they built a client on top of it, like the Twitter app. So Farcaster has these channels, which very much resemble Reddit, which is interesting because it's kind of mixed two social experiences into one, while also building a decentralized protocol on the back. So there was this channel called DGEN, And there were very few channels at that time, I remember. I mean, you could probably join all of them at one point and have a conversation in all of them. And Dijon was one of these that really kind of was one of the ones that really accelerated conversations on Farcaster. Because I remember even Vitalik came in and said, oh, you guys are too nice here. Like, there isn't a lot of, you know, conflict or debate. But the Dijon channel flipped the script a bit where, you know, Dijons are going to do what Dijons are going to do. And the conversations became very different. And so it looks like that's where you saw some of that value when it came time to deploying a token, was where is there the most activity? And how can we capture the most, or how can people capture the most value from that activity?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting to kind of see the DGEN channel as like this not really well-explored channel towards the beginning, because essentially a lot of the people on Farcaster were kind of like crypto natives, but usually like in the scene. So they were like developers working at companies, like crypto companies, and there was like project managers, there was a couple of VCs, and like, so it was very like, it was kind of like almost like the type of people you might see at like ETH Denver or like some kind of conference. So yeah, it was very tight-knit community. I don't know, when I joined in July, so I don't know, maybe there was like 20,000 users or maybe even less. And so certainly it was like really interesting to see that the DGEN channel was not like a popular channel. Like, people didn't want that to be their persona. They wanted it to be like, hey, we're like serious developers, we're starting startups, we have these ideas. We're not about that like DGEN life and that whole like NFT craze and doing all that kind of stuff. And the DGEN channel ended up being pretty quiet, I would say. Like, I was a part of it too, but like, I wasn't really actively posting. So sort of like what you said. And then I think just in December, really, that's when the activity really like picked up for some reason. And I think, like, at least when I noticed it, was really because of these tokens launching. Like, people were just decided, hey, we're going to launch all these weird tokens, and we're kind of like in the middle of this like little bull market thing that's happening. Who knows? So it really felt like people were ready to kind of just experiment and see, like, you know, I don't know, just do something a little bit different. So no, that's pretty cool. And now DGEN is the most popular channel on Farcaster, which is like, yeah, totally flipping the script on everything, basically, on basically this community being like primarily builders and people that are very serious. And those are still the OGs, the ones with the, you know, with the highest follower count, I would say. But certainly the DGEN channel has blown up. So I don't know. I think that's pretty cool to see that.
Definitely. I think Farcaster for a long time was very resistant to change, I would say. And I wouldn't even call it Farcaster, like the people that are building the platform, but the community that had built around that, right? I remember being early to Farcaster. I was one of those cranky old men, right? That was saying, oh, you know, stay off my lawn. You know, this is about building and build vibes. And I totally felt that, you know, when the DGEN channel, there was resistance to it. But to be fair, I think the DGEN channel and the DGEN token captured something different. It wasn't just about being a degenerate. It was about memes. It's about the power of memes. I don't know if you're familiar with this person, but this is someone who I study, like the stuff that they put out. And this is Kevin Iwaki from Gitcoin. And he constantly writes about the power of memes, the memetic value of narratives. And I think DGEN in general, when it comes to crypto, has a super powerful memetic value, right? Because it's really easy to understand what that means. People can really easily identify with that and then build a tribe around that. And I think the DGEN token kind of said, okay, look, we're going to reward people, but fundamentally, they're going to reward you for that whole DGEN meme. But it was actually rewarding people for using Farcaster in the way that it was built, which was find your tribe, in this case, join a channel, actively participate, and then retroactively, you're going to be rewarded with something. Full disclosure, I was very happy with it. I didn't know what the value was going to be in the end of it. So I started using some of this token to actually fund some projects. I was paying people in DGEN. way too much now in hindsight when I look at it. But I was like, oh, I don't know. This is just a token. It's, to me, it's liquid, and I can basically pay someone to do some work with this. And they happily took it. If they held it, hopefully, maybe they've made a good chunk of change based on what I thought was a fair market value for the work that they were doing. So tell me a little bit about like the memetic value of DGEN generally, and then the memetic value of DGEN, the token.
Yeah, there's definitely a meme. Initially, I wasn't even thinking of this sort of like as a meme token. I wasn't thinking much at all about that kind of side of things. I was kind of thinking of like, hey, there is demand here. People want a token, not sure why they want this token exactly, but they kind of want to participate in this. So we kind of launched it. And so like the tipping hat or like the top hat that we kind of have as like the logo, that came later. Somebody kind of created it. I guess we had like a logo contest, but even before that, I guess people were kind of, I don't know, it just popped up like this hat is going to be, you know, the centerpiece, which is kind of interesting. Like I had nothing to do with that and the community chose it. So I guess the meme just started like evolving because the community kind of wanted that. And I guess DGEN is sort of like kind of a meme in itself, like the word. Even like a few months before like launching the token, I didn't really know what like DGEN was. I know there was a DGEN channel. I thought it was going to be like Wall Street Bets. So I joined it, but I never thought of like this concept. Like what is like a DGEN? Like what does that all mean? It wasn't like super well thought out in terms of, you know, like deep meaning and things. It was just kind of following people around and saying, okay, let's just do this. Let's form this community. I guess it has grown into this sort of definitely. I think there's like a lot of layers, you know, of DGEN that we're trying to build out. And like the first layer is certainly the meme layer, and that's the surface layer. And we want to keep that going because that has a lot of value. And I guess one of the ways to kind of compare it is almost like a mascot for like a sports team. I think it kind of just unites everybody and keeps everybody going. And I don't know, it's just sort of like this positive force. Whereas with like a lot of, I don't know, startups in crypto scene or projects like that, there's logos and there's things like that. But it's kind of hard to unite around some of these projects, I would say. Like you either kind of use it as a tool or, you know, something like that. But the meme culture has something in it where it is that community kind of vibe, which I think, especially nowadays with everybody kind of being remote and kind of like that there's less in real life experiences, I think that's going to become like more popular in a way. And I don't know, it just seems to kind of make sense. I kind of compare it also to like a newspaper back in the day where you had like the cartoon and like a Dilbert section. And so basically some people would kind of gravitate towards maybe like sports, maybe some towards finance, some towards like the main page. But I think everybody at some point maybe took a look at those cartoons. And I think the memes, that's kind of what they are. Like if you're working on this side of crypto, that side of crypto, whatever, I think this is sort of like the common ground, the mascot, the cartoon, the place where you can kind of hang out and talk about something a little bit lighter. And I think that's sort of needed.
So there was a couple of things you said, and I hope I can remember them and touch on all of them. But one of the things you were talking about was kind of the ability to gather people around memes, right? And organize people around, you know, tribes, if you will, right? And so in this case, right, I think like the DGEN tribe is pretty vocal, pretty excited. One of the hardest things, though, I think, even if you're able to bring people together around these memes, is to A, build it enough flexibility into it so that people can also feel like they can, they're empowered to like create their own kind of things to bring people back into this, right? Because there's only so much you can do as a founder in terms of like spreading the meme out to others. Like the meme has to become viral in itself and popular enough where other people want to be a part of it and then kind of define what it means to them. And then other people like them are then going to get attached to that and come in. But eventually it all becomes one big tribe. One of the things, and I want to bring this back to like DAOs, like one of the things that I saw personally as the failure of DAOs. Not saying that DAOs in general are failures, but in some of the things that I think caused DAOs not to succeed as much as they could have in the previous cycle, and maybe they will in future cycles, is that there wasn't enough flexibility. There was very restrictive in terms of the things you could do, the ways that you can contribute, the ways that it could grow. I thought sub-DAOs maybe would be a way to kind of like break apart kind of fundamentally the way something could work so other people can find a way to like make it work, but still the value gets brought back into the mothership. What are your thoughts in terms of like when you build a meme and organize people around that meme? Is there something just that's built into memes that makes it intuitively more flexible? Or was there an effort on your part to make sure that you weren't being so restrictive in terms of what Degen meant and how people could organize?
So I think in terms of like the DAO structure, I think it is a little bit like an awkward structure in the terms of like, I don't know, it just seems a little bit weird where like most organizations, and I think just like, you know, I'm not really like a historian, but it feels like throughout history, most organizations, most communities, most anything, they have like leaders. And so it feels awkward that a DAO doesn't have like a well-defined leader. So you have like people who basically delegate, you know, their tokens to somebody, and then you have maybe a couple kind of delegates and people kind of voting on things, but there's no like clearly defined leader. And I feel like that could be potentially, I don't know, maybe some DAOs do have like more structure to them. Like I'm not well versed in all that, but it does seem that that structure makes it really, really difficult to like accomplish anything. Cause I feel like you do need that person or those two people usually who are kind of like the founders or the elected leaders or something like that to kind of move things along. I think there's so many reasons for that. Like people need to look up to somebody. Sometimes decisions need to be made pretty fast. You need somebody to kind of like interfacing with like 5, 10, 100, 1,000 people is impossible. So making decisions becomes impossible. It's kind of like this pure democracy, which in theory is like amazing, but at the end of the day, it's kind of, it's not that practical. So I think with DAOs, they need to look at maybe evolve a little bit past what they are right now. So I think I'd agree with that. With Degen, the cool thing was that, yeah, I was sort of in control and am in control right now of most everything, but we are going to build a foundation, and Colton, who was my boss in my previous company, he's coming along and he's going to be part of the whole journey as well. So it's kind of leaving my hands and going into like a formal organization and things. And I think having that sort of initially is very helpful, and I think it will be helpful in the future, because I did make a lot of decisions really fast. And also I one thing I tried to do was just say yes a lot. So a lot of people would come to me and they're like, hey, can I do this, or should I do this, or what do you think about this? And I would just be like, yeah, just do it, or let's do it, or whatever. So less thinking about like, how perfect should it all be? Does this make sense? Is this like I kind of trusted that, hey, this community is going to be all right. Probably not scammers, I'm hoping, and all that kind of stuff. And it just felt like, I mean, I did some research and I tried to get on video calls with people and kind of get a feeling like, hey, is this going to make sense? And yeah, I think that was pretty powerful that I was able to glue all these ideas together, where a DAO would have probably some issues with that. And then somebody who's more maybe restrictive or trying to do things like very formally in like the typical corporate structure or something, they might think, no, we have to do everything by the book, by the letter, like do it perfectly. Let's investigate everything. Like I just wanted everything to flow and just get things up and running. And I wasn't afraid to really experiment and break things. So I think that helped a lot. And people appreciated it because like they were contributing to it. And some people invested quite a lot. So I try to listen to everybody. And it is a little bit weird because like your users, in a sense, or the people in your community are also vested in the community. So you do have to kind of listen to them. And like I felt like that was really important. Like even now I feel like it's important, even when I have like a million people kind of knocking at the door. So now I'm trying to shift that a little bit and figure out like what is the right balance there. But
No, that's good. That leads, I think, to an obvious question. As DGEN continues to grow, it sounds like one of the ways that you've accelerated that was by being open to the way that it could potentially grow. But being that it has reached some level of success, right? Because someone could say, but there's still a lot of opportunity. Absolutely. But seeing as how it's reached some level of success, how do you ensure that you don't start adding some restrictions that cause it to potentially start to slow down or worse, even like lose some of that momentum?
I think with the size of DGEN now, I think there's 320,000 wallet holders. For comparison, I think Shiba Inu today has like 1,300,000. So we're kind of, we're getting there, like a fourth of the way there, let's say. But we've only been around for three months or something. So yeah, it's kind of like, it's difficult to say what the best way to kind of do this. I think definitely adding too much structure to our organization, or adding too many people, having a high headcount, I think that might slow things down. Because in a way, yeah, sure, we'll build the organization, it'll be a foundation, whatever the lawyers kind of think up and think is the best solutions to keep us kind of safe. But whatever that structure is, I think we still want to keep it decentralized in the way that people still have kind of been like gluing things together, highlighting those things to the community, trying to amplify them through our official channels. I think that's been really good. Because with Dogecoin, for instance, like some of these other coins, people I'm sure are building things, but like I haven't been on the Dogecoin official Twitter in a while. I don't really know how that looks, but I never really remember them amplifying these community projects. I know that early on they did like the decentralized dance parties, and they had all these kind of like different movements and things that were happening. That was pretty cool. But I think one thing that we're definitely trying to do is help out the builders, help out the users, and kind of get their message spread across, whatever that is. And so I think keeping things small in the official organization and that structure will help us be kind of agile, focus on the problems that really matter now, instead of trying to tackle like 10 different problems at once, which probably, 8 out of those 10 or 8 out of those 100 or whatever we have could probably just be thrown away. So I think doing things that way. And one of the cool things that has happened is, because I haven't had time to implement things and do things on my own, people have had a chance to do it themselves. That's kind of been part of the whole decentralized aspect of this. It's kind of like permissionless. You can all, everybody can do whatever they want. You have to ask permission or anything. So I do like that part. And sometimes it's kind of like what Vitalik does in a way, where he has built Ethereum and, a lot of people have built it, but essentially he'll put out papers and say like, hey, or like a blog post, like, hey, I think you guys should build this, or, this is something that's needed, but like, I'm not going to build it. And I think that has worked really, really well. And that's something we could probably do at DGEN. And I think that's something that has been happening. I've kind of said like, hey, this would be cool, or something like that. Like, I've hinted at some things, and people have basically just gone out and built it, or like, I just haven't done it. For instance, frames, like there's a tip allowance, and people just go out and they build frames to like display your tip allowance, display how many points you have. And I was thinking, oh man, maybe I should build that. And they just build it. Or like they build like an action on Farcaster so that you can basically tip out of that. And so it's pretty cool that people just do that. Whereas if this was like a big corporate structure and we had like, some kind of IP or, like some kind of rights to all this, we would be like, hey, no, you can't do that. Like, we're Walt Disney or whatever. You can't use our trademark. Then that would really like stop everybody from innovating. And so anyway, I think that's the cool part of this whole thing.
Yeah, no, you touched on a few things that actually reminded me of why I started falling in love with DGEN. Like I mentioned early, I was a AirDrop One recipient, but I didn't really think about like the financial value. Call me not degen because I don't necessarily always think in that way. I was grateful for it, but I immediately said, how can I put this money to work, right? In other words, how can I just send this to someone else because there is liquidity and they could potentially be interested in working for degen. One of the things that this reminded me as you were talking about degen and the parallels that it has with other projects like Doge and Shiba Inu from the memetic side, I actually like to compare a little bit more to like nouns. And nouns, yeah, for those of you who are listening who don't know what that is, it is one of these, like, I would call it like stage two NFT projects where they went beyond doing the whole digital identity or PFP thing. They actually built in treasury and governance into it. And the cool thing about this like shared treasury that the community or these NFT holders can govern is that you can now fund different actions that support the value of the nouns ecosystem. And I saw one community member or two community members separately and now together said, how can we do the same thing with degen? And they created, I believe it's called degen angels, where now you're starting to see, like you said, people thinking of different ways of like both accelerating the velocity of degen, both in its awareness, but also in terms of the number of people that hold degen, but also finding interesting ways to like leverage degen to build really cool stuff. And so that's, I think, one thing that I've talked a lot about personally in my experience of degen is I think degen is perfectly positioned to be a token that incentivizes builders. And interestingly, builders were opposed to it on Farcaster initially, but now it's like, if you're building something of value and creating an impact in the Farcaster ecosystem or beyond, come and get some degen, go and build some really cool things that are like creating value. And then, you know, just use that as some sort of like either incentive or retroactive reward. I think that's really interesting. And personally, one of the things that's very exciting. Also, in terms of what you said about Vitalik, 100% agree with you. He is an instigator. That's literally all he does. He comes with a stick and pokes the bear and says, what can we do here? And then people go, oh, well, let's go find out what we can do there. And I think that that speaks volumes about becoming a thought leader in this space, which I think you yourself are very quickly becoming. And I'm very excited to see how that transformation for yourself also continues to inspire development around degen.
Yeah, definitely. That's a new kind of thing for me. I haven't really thought about, you know, how that's going to look like or what that, you know, it is weird for me to kind of be at the center of like a lot of conversations and things like that right now. So I don't really think about it too much just yet, but I do want to kind of shepherd, I guess, degen along in a good way or like a responsible way and things like that. So I am kind of thinking of the best way to do it. And I am trying to get inspiration from some of these guys like Vitalik or whoever, who really aren't in the meme space or anything like that. So, I don't know. I don't know if there was a question there really, but,
I don't think there's a question. I think it's more of an open, just really kind of like things that I've just been seeing degen do really well, whether intentionally or not. And things that I personally would like to see more of, you know, as now a degen holder, but also someone who is deeply embedded in the Farcaster ecosystem, as far as like what degen can do to continue inspiring people to build and creating incentives that are aligned to develop things that are also helping grow the degen ecosystem. But also in terms of you personally, I think just giving you your flowers and saying, hey, you're doing an amazing job already at kind of becoming that voice on Farcaster and for degen definitely to help, you know, take that to the next level.
Yeah, no, well, I definitely appreciate that. It's it's been kind of like a crazy journey in general. But I think with the builders, one thing I think we got really lucky with is that we did launch this on Farcaster and there's a ton of builders and like really like the community isn't out there shilling degen. They're building like things. The interesting part for me is that it's been so organic. We haven't spent like a dime on like marketing. We haven't like shilled things. We haven't done like any weird campaigns or anything like that. We haven't done like raiding other channels. So I think that's probably one of the cooler things about this DJ ecosystem, and probably a lot of it was a little bit unintentional, that in the fact that we have basically this great community on Farcaster, and they've decided to support it. And that's also, I think that's probably one of my biggest fears, is that I would probably, that I would somehow offend or lose like these like OGs on Farcaster, like the builders, the people like yourself, basically, who have like a lot of influence basically in the space. And so that's always been my fear. So I've kind of like, yeah, I'm trying to do like this, like just balancing out. I definitely want to like also put as much positivity into all of this. So like there's like a lot of, there's different aspects. Like not every day is like a great day. There's days when this token goes down, people complain. Right now we banned some users, and so those users are complaining. So like not every day has been great for DGEN, but aside from all of that, like we're trying to make this like a positive thing, and like really appeal to like the builders and the people in the space who are, I guess, honest, and they're really like the builders, like the foundation is really like the builders, I would say, like, or not even the builders, but the people in the space who are passionate, and not trying to shill it to like, I don't know, other people beyond that, like let it just grow through that kind of means. And I think if we can do it that way, then people will build cool things, they'll respect us, and they'll want to be here. Whereas if we start doing like these weird marketing campaigns, like start throwing like some weird parties and like kind of going into like this kind of like weird scene, I think we'll lose all those people who are like, yeah, we get that you're a meme, but you're also like doing this like respectfully, and you know, you're kind of like, you're not doing some weird MTV, like some weird like childish kind of thing. You're actually, it's a meme, but it's like a Dilbert kind of like meme, where it's like a mascot for like a sports team. We respect it. And I think that's like the key part of all of this, especially as crypto. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just really attracted to that space where people are passionate. So even with like the music and all that kind of stuff, once it gets into like, so I was like into EDM like back when it was still kind of just, I don't know, it's popping up, I guess, especially in California. It wasn't that big. There was a lot of hip hop. There was like a lot of rock and things like that that were on the radio. But EDM wasn't really one of those. So I think with this, it's the same thing. And then when things do get mainstream and you do get all these people who are really just there to profit and shill and do all that kind of stuff, it does detract from it. So I'm going to just try to like ignore that or like not highlight that, and keep the organic roots. Because that's where it's at.
Yeah, no, and I think that speaks to transcending the meme, right? I mean, there's only so much value you're going to be able to create by just being a meme. And I think, you know, you can point to so many different memes that are strictly that. But there is so much more that you can do if you're able to transcend that. One of the things that I want to talk about, because I think that this is a big part of like the transcending of a meme, is DGEN Chain. Like, I'm just curious, because I think if anybody tuned in early in this conversation, I said that's something I never saw coming. Tell me a little bit about the inspiration behind DGEN Chain, and then kind of where you're at right now, and like what's the long-term vision for that? Because I mean, running a chain is no easy matter, for sure.
Yeah, I'm finding that out just now, but yeah, it's. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I mean, for sure, what started off was Lotto PGF. They're just a group that they had this frame called Powerballed, and they were basically giving people a Lotto ticket, and then you could win some DGEN at the end of the day. And they were funding it all themselves. Like, I didn't give them any DGEN initially, and they said they were paying about like $300 a day to kind of run this thing, and it was one of the more popular DGEN frames at the time. So, and I think it still kind of is like a popular one. So but under the hood, they were actually like, you know, they were doing a lot of like things with randomness, or like, I don't know the exact details of what they were doing, but basically it was like verifiable randomness on chain. And they had taken this technology from like chain to chain to chain. Now, and then it was on base chain, and it's still kind of expensive. They were hoping it was going to be a little bit cheaper. And my idea was like, hey, we'll just do what I'm doing and do things off chain. But they were not sold on that. They were like on the other side of things. They want to do things completely on chain. So I was like, okay. And then finally, they really just convinced me in this like conversation that, or they were trying to convince me at least. Like, I think I even got a little bit annoyed at some point. I was like, oh man, they keep circling back to the degen chain. And I just really didn't understand, like, or actually it was about L3s. I really didn't understand like what they were talking about. What is an L3? So they explained it to me. They told me like why they think it's a cool idea. And then kind of after the conversation, I started thinking about it a little bit more, and it seemed to like make some sense to me. Like, hey, we can grow this ecosystem. People can kind of migrate to this chain. The transaction fees will be very cheap. Maybe we can customize it a little bit. So it did start growing on me, but I think the main thing was that, okay, I can like channel some people here and we can build like an app store. I think I was thinking of like a Play Store, like something like that, or like the Apple App Store. So that was kind of my idea. And I thought, okay, let's just do it. Like, it only costs like $3,500 a month to run this thing. So like, hey, I think I can afford it for now. And worst comes to worst, then in a few months, then we just switch it off and that, you know, we'll conclude the experiment. And it just kind of turned out that, hey, you know, the first day, fortunately, I didn't have to do a lot of it, or any of it actually. Syndicate.io, like they did everything basically. They interface with Conduit to basically spin up the rollup as a service. They interface with Descent to get the bridge up and running. They did the UI on Vercel and just created the bridge interface, which I'll probably touch up maybe during FarCon or something. But so they ended up doing basically everything, even like this deploy on Degen Week. They've kind of been running it, organizing it. And like we're both kind of like basically, you know, I'm trying to highlight it, amplify it, do all that kind of stuff. But yeah, basically they have their own team, and Will and Ian are just really great co-founders. So that's been like super, super helpful. And that allowed me to focus on other things. So I'm like really grateful for that whole experience. And yeah, and basically the first day, 2 days after, there was like $30 million in TVL bridged over. Which was way, way more. It's like, I mean, compared to other chains, maybe it's not like a lot or something, but in like a day or two, that's still a lot. And for me, that was way more than I expected to be bridged over. I didn't really see like, you know, the value at first, like why is somebody kind of bridging over to like an empty chain? And I thought this thing would probably have to grow for like quite a while. So it was an experiment for me, like, and also because I wasn't focusing on it as a dev, it was kind of like on the side. And so I was kind of just like, okay, this is happening, but I'm focusing on tipping. I'm focusing on everything else. And now I'm starting to realize, well, this is where the value is. People are actually building there. They're building really cool dApps. I just went through like basically all the dApps for deploying on Degen Week, because we had like this week, and we're going to decide which ones get like some kind of grants, and like over 300 projects submitted. So anyway, yeah, it's really cool to see this grow. And I think even the Syndicate team kind of said they've run these kind of experiments or these kind of like grant programs and things in the past. And they said they've never seen anything like this before. Like, this is very unique in the fact that, you know, the chain is only 2 weeks old, and the maturity of these projects is like, It's pretty amazing. Like people are building, and they're building from the ground up. It's not like these apps existed or these dApps existed somewhere on some other chain and they just bridge them over and deploy the contracts. Like, people are building them from scratch, branding them in the Degen style. So I don't know. It's been pretty wild to see all this. And like, I'm kind of blown away. It's grown way past me and everything that I'm doing. Like, it's taken on like a life of its own, and people are just basically doing their own thing at this point.
You know, I recently had on Carl Servone. He is previously from HyperCerts, now running open source Observer, obviously also a steward on Gitcoin and Optimism. Really cool guy, really deep in the weeds when it comes to data. One of the things he said on our podcast, and in fact, I think we did some like short form content from this exact quote, which he said, when it comes to open source software, a lot of times you don't really remember the people that started those projects. You might, when it comes to like centralized brands like Microsoft and Apple, you can quickly remember who those people are, right? But when it comes to open source software, you don't remember who the people were. And it's interesting to hear you say that in terms of like what's happening to DGEN, you're quickly being left behind. Maybe that's the wrong word, but you're almost becoming a part of the community as a contributor, and you're no longer kind of like as important to be visible, right, at the front of it, because DGEN is evolving and becoming something much bigger than any one person can become. And I think that this is really interesting to me, both from kind of what the future of DGEN could become, right, but also in terms of like the fact that it's getting there so quickly. And I think to your point that I think you made very eloquently in terms of like how DGEN Chain has been performing, it's a good example of also how quickly things are going there. And obviously, I think that we need to give the flowers to your partners like Syndicate that have helped to get there. But just generally, I think it's really worthy of congratulations, but also worthy of excitement to see how quickly DGEN is becoming, overcoming the meme narrative and really establishing itself as a valuable player in the Web3 ecosystem.
Yeah, it's grown just astronomically. I mean, seeing it even with like, I think there's like a comparison with the transactions per second, and DGEN Chain is like number one. And I think, I mean, that metric is kind of skewed, obviously, because like there's roll-ups happening and things like that. And we like our block times are very small and the transaction size is very small. But either way, like a lot of things are happening there. And I think, yeah, in the future, maybe I'll just be like this sort of like filter where people just send me projects or whatever. It's kind of, I kind of think of it as like Linus Torvald with the Linux kernel. I think one of the things he was really struggling with at one point was basically all the like inbound code that was trying to make its way into the kernel. And he had like, he didn't really trust most people. He's not like a person that really... he only thinks a couple of people in the world are good at coding. It's kind of like the my perspective of what I've seen. And so he only trusts a few kind of lieutenants or whatever. And so I think one of the reasons he built Git for basically code repositories and code management was basically to solve this unique problem that he had, which was like, how can he only trust a few people, and those people trust a few people, and they trust a few people, and kind of let the code bubble up into the Linux kernel so that he doesn't have to review 1,000 different projects. And I think that, you know, kind of going back to like the organizational structure and things like that, I think that's kind of the way I'm thinking about everything, is that maybe I can kind of be this like Linus Torvald of DGEN, but figure out some kind of structure where things kind of bubble up, they filter up, and then we highlight them. We put them on the front page of the site. We create an app store or an integrations page, or we highlight them on Twitter, because there needs to be that final effect, like where we're finally like, okay, this is what people, you know, achieve. That code gets into the code base. Your dApp gets into the integrations page or whatever it might be. And so at that point, you're probably like Linus Torvald, he's probably writing a lot of code just because he does that. But I think he's also just merging things in. And I think the community is really building out most of the code base. I don't know, I'd have to check, like, but I could imagine that it's grown to this point where, I can imagine that now it's like a lot of other people building the code base. He's maybe just the main reviewer, and he sees the overarching picture. And tries to merge in the appropriate, you know, things to make that future happen. But anyway, that's the way I'm kind of seeing it. But I don't think we have the right structure for it yet. Because right now I do get like hundreds or dozens at least of inbound requests, and I'm filtering them all on my own, which isn't completely true. I have one confirmation, and I have Wake, and I have Yes to Crypto, and Whelp from Rainbow, and so there's a bunch of like people who are already kind of acting as these like first layer filters, but probably we could do a more formal structure, or I don't know, figure out something that works a little bit better.
I mean, obviously there's tons of room for you and for DGEN and the DGEN chain and anybody else that's continuing to help build out DGEN to find ways of like innovating, obviously, and creating solutions that are useful and valuable and spread the meme, obviously more important still. I wonder, as we're reaching the top of the hour here, if you could look back at young Jacek, and by young, I mean just a couple of months ago, when you were considering launching the DGEN token, if you were to do anything differently then, would you change anything? Or do you think that everything really worked out exactly how you were hoping and there's nothing really that you would change now?
Yeah, so things worked out better than I ever hoped for. Like 4 months ago, I was hoping that maybe some kind of VC or I don't know, some sort of like investor might give me maybe $100,000 to like start a startup, or at least like a very like small angel seed round, whatever you want to call it. So that would have been like amazing. So my plan was just to live off my savings for a few months. I forget how many months I told my fiance. I was like maybe like 3 months, 4 months or something. But in my head, I was thinking like 8 or 9 months, you know, like, I wasn't really trying to tell her that. But anyway, it ended up evolving to the point where, well, I mean, things just move so fast. So I got very lucky in that we hit this sweet spot. I definitely noticed that like there was a wave kind of forming and I just wanted to ride that wave. And now I'm just trying to just keep riding it, you know, just don't fall off the wave just yet. And hopefully if we can ride the wave, then we can kind of like ride off it kind of smoothly. And yeah, so I don't think there's anything I really would have done too much differently because things just went way better than I hoped. Probably Valentine's Day wasn't the best day because we gave a 1 million tip allowance to everybody. And so then the next day I did hear some stuff of like, hey, do you realize you like spent $15 million this day? Like basically was that your intention and things like that. But it was all well, like it was all well mannered and basically the messages I was getting was like, hey, you know, like now you are in this position where this is quite a lot of money. People have invested in you. Like, you know, people are kind of want this project. You have to kind of like take it more seriously. So, and also I think a lot of people like were kind of just feeling like they're still feeling me out. Like, you know, is this guy, at first it was like, is he just going to rug everybody? Like, you know, what's going to happen? Like, you know, this TVL is, market cap is, you know, already pretty high. Like he could just probably leave us and I didn't have the liquidity locked up for a while. I didn't find a good solution for that until later. So I think initially building that trust was very difficult. So I did dox myself and I did like do a lot of other things to hopefully build that trust up. But I think it's still going to take a really long time to really build, because like a lot of other projects, they build the trust just by giving out the tokens or burning the liquidity and things like that. But I kind of felt like all these things are valuable. And so even like the liquidity pool, that's like a source of revenue for us now and things like that. So like if I had done that, then yeah, it's a quick win. People trust like, okay, you're not going to immediately pull out and you're probably not like a scammer or something. But you do lose a lot of like future doing that. So I think building up this whole reputation and trust, it's going to take quite some time. And I think once the DGEN chain kind of launches and like, well, it has launched, but like really takes off and you kind of see some really cool apps there. I think that trust will be built. So I think with the Valentine's Day, I think I lost a little bit of trust there because people were like, whoa, this guy's like a little bit impulsive here. He's just kind of giving out the DGEN left and right. So I think that was one of the bigger days for me. And I hope, I'm glad it kind of happened then. And I know there's going to be mistakes made, so it's just about kind of minimizing them and trying to like, yeah, not avoid the big ones.
Yeah. I mean, so again, so many gems here. First of all, I want to commend your fiance for trusting you. I think a lot of like the crypto world wants to say thank you to your fiance for trusting you. I'm personally married and I know it's very difficult when you are doing something that's very risky. You have not just yourself to hold accountable, but you also have to discuss this with your partner. It's really commendable. In terms of like your, I guess, apprehension and what you thought was your goal and getting like VC investment. I feel that as a startup founder so hard because I know that it can be incredibly like tiresome and exhausting, obviously, but also just nerve-wracking to not know with any certainty how you're going to continue to build something that you're passionate about, but you need funding so you can sustain it and yourself at the same time. I'm thrilled with that said that you didn't necessarily have to go to that route, that the community actually supported you to fund, you know, this initiative and also like fund you to continue developing this. I think that that is wonderful. Very few stories like that in the crypto space. So that's really exciting. And in terms of like the future vision and what y'all keep doing, I think, you know, personally, I always, this is just me, so this is not me speaking for DJ, but I always say, keep experimenting, because the moment you stop experimenting is where things just start to like get really old feeling. You know, there's people lose that, lose the enthusiasm for why they were supporting you. I personally, as a DJ holder, I know I would love to see you continue to experiment, not get too inflexible. Again, going back to what we were talking about there, but I totally get why you want to, you know, be more thoughtful, I guess, in terms of how you choose to experiment in the future. And then lastly, when it comes to, you know, you're doxing yourself, you know, this is something I did very early. I'm from the 2016 class of crypto. The first thing I did is I showed my face. You know, people got to meet me IRL. I said, hey, let's go meet at a brewery. We can chat over a beer. I know that that goes a very long way, and 100% agree with you. Some projects choose to just do it through tokens and incentives, but I don't think that there's really anything as valuable as showing who you are, connecting with people in a very real way. And I've seen a lot of the people on Farcaster that I consider to be thoughtful representatives of that culture, like Ted, always giving you a flower, saying like, look, I mean, I think JSEC is leading with the right principles. One thing that I've noticed and that, you know, Ted also reinforced in terms of my thinking was, you don't say, hey, this is what I want to do. You make an announcement when the stuff has been done. So congratulations on all of that, man. Honestly, it's really commendable. And I think anybody who's a startup founder in the space can be learning a lot from you and your success with DGEN.
Yeah, no, thank you. And Ted is great. She's like, she always makes me laugh. She has such a positive like attitude. And yeah, definitely. She, I remember, wanted to get on a call with me, and just to kind of see who I am and all that kind of stuff. And then once she kind of saw that, I think that's when she was like, all right, cool. I'll try this out. I'll take a look. So that was very cool. And I think without having being doxxed and being kind of like anonymous or something like that, I don't think like a person like Ted would have ever been okay with like kind of, you know, jumping on this or being like, you know, positively involved. So, yeah, I do remember when she was saying something about DGEN doing DGEN poker. And basically the DGEN chain had just come out like a day or two ago, maybe. And she was, and basically she didn't even know about like, what is DGEN chain. And I told her, well, like, maybe you could do the DGEN poker on the DGEN chain. But then I kind of, she was like, wait, well, what is this DGEN chain? Like, tell me about this whole thing. So I told her about it. And she's like, okay, well, maybe I can do it. But I could tell she was like kind of doing these mental gymnastics. Like, how am I going to do this? Like, you know what? Just do it on Base. If it's easier for you, like, don't worry about it. Like, it's going to like, and she's like, no. Like, Yasik, we're going to do this 100% on DGEN. So she was more bullish than I was on the chain at that point. So she was like telling me like, no way. Like, we need to do it this way. So I was like, all right, that's cool. So that was pretty great. And yeah, in terms of experimenting, that's the one thing that has been getting me a little bit down lately is like the last 2 or 3 weeks, I've just been sort of like on these calls talking to like partnerships and doing like kind of like these like paperwork kind of style things. And I think because of that, like I've been losing the creative side because it's just kind of like pushing one story around or like, hey, I'll amplify this or, you know, talk to this person or talk to that person and talk to these lawyers or like this listings team or something. And I think that stuff does have value to some point, but I think I need to start learning how to like prioritize things because the 10X, the 100X move for DGEN is really on the creative side and putting something out there rather than this sort of like just front-facing thing that's been eating up a lot of my time. So that's something I'm trying to learn a little bit too. And that I've noticed that has dampened me a little bit because I've been bogged down in things I don't really want to be doing. And I want to be doing more like basically what Linus Torvald does. You know, he's still coding, he's still doing all that kind of stuff, and he can manage a pretty intense project. So I don't know. I'm figuring out a lot of things too, and trying to figure out how I can keep experimenting without being like the super CEO. Because I don't think I need to be a super CEO, Steve Jobs type of person, because that's a totally different structure, and decentralized crypto is a totally different structure. Things are permissionless here. People don't need me to give them like the okay for everything. So I'm trying to figure out the best way to do all this.
Yeah, I think Vitalik is a perfect example of who you could emulate. And I'm excited for you to enter your Vitalik era as a founder of DGEN. As we've reached now the top of the hour, anything you think that we didn't mention that we should? And if we've covered everything, where can people go find you, and how can people get started on building on DGEN chain?
Yeah, so I think the best way to get started with building on DGEN chain, definitely we need to add docs to the main website. But right now there's a blog by Syndicate. I think if you just type in like DGEN Syndicate, you'll probably one of the top posts or something. You can always reach out to Syndicate. Will and Ian are super responsive, I know. So if you need to get started on that, I think going to that article, you'll find the RPC information and basically everything else. We're using Arbitrum Orbit underneath. But basically, you can deploy any smart contract. We're EVM compatible. There's not a lot of differences that I know of between launching on DGEN and from a technical perspective. And then on Base or Ethereum or something. So I think you can just get started on it from that point as a developer. If somebody, like if you guys have some kind of cool projects that you do want to partner up on, or you want us to amplify or check out, I would say partnerships at dgen.tips is a good email to kind of hit us up. Although I would say that it is kind of better if you're able to kind of gain some traction, or maybe like Nick from One Confirmation, he's been like super great at, so One Confirmation invested in us. And so they're basically, Nick has been like really great at reviewing things, and he wants to be a part of that process. So I think it is great when projects go through the filters of going through like Wake or, whoever it might be, Welp, Yes to Crypto, Felorami, like these are like people in the DGEN channel who are, I kind of, yeah, basically vet things and I kind of listen to. So I think that's a good route to go down. And aside from that, I think it's just all about having fun. I would try bridging some funds over to DGEN chain, checking out DGEN Swap. There's quite a lot of like projects on there. I need to create an integrations page soon so that people can see all the apps. I think Dapp Radar, maybe they'll integrate us at some point. I don't know. I saw they put something on our calendar. So I think hopefully soon we'll have more places where people can check out what people are building. But yeah, that's sort of like the high level.
Amazing. Well, Jacek, I think, and thank you for, I should have asked you this before, how you pronounce your name. I was saying Jacek, so I totally apologize for you. Jacek, I appreciate you coming on the show. You know, honestly, I was so excited about this podcast specifically because I know how big of a persona you are on Farcaster. And one thing that I try with this series specifically is I want to bridge the gap, like I said, between people who are just learning about crypto and only know about like the top five names like Bitcoin and Doge, you know, and I say top five, but just in terms of like the popularity contest, with the people who are so deep in the space, like the people on Farcaster, because that's really deep down in terms of the people involved in crypto, bringing them together to have a shared conversation. I think this podcast, specifically this episode, is going to do just that. So I'm excited for it to go live on all of our platforms. If you're tuning in for the first time listening to Crypto Sapiens, go check out our newsletter at cryptosapiens.xyz. We're at CSM on Farcaster. That's really where I spend most of my time too. And I'm at humpty.eth there. I appreciate your time, Jacek, and I'm excited to see the future of you know, DGEN, DGEN Chain, and your evolution as well.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me here. And I'm excited too, man. I'm curious what the DGEN community is going to come up with. So that's going to be cool.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.